It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. It's homecoming week for Louisiana Tech as they take on North Texas Saturday inside the Joe at 2:30 p.m. We've got a couple of sponsors before we get into the talk. First, of course, in the first segment, we talk about Conference USA football and recap the previous week. Jared, you got those sponsors ready? That's a no.
Hang on. You've got them? I think I've got them. Yeah, I've got them.
Do it.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, Episode 9 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Give us a call to collegesteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us an email, radio at bleedtechblue.com, or tweet at us using that hashtag BTBRadio, and we will get to your questions. Jared, the team that everybody said was the best team and it wasn't even close in the conference, well, they got beat.
And you know who they got beat by?
Your boys.
My boys from New Orleans.
I'm going to start calling you the Greenie.
The Tulane Green Wave.
You're the Greenie fanboy.
I'll tell you what, I was impressed. I didn't pick Tulane to win that game. I picked ECU to win it.
It took triple overtime, and I still had them in my power ranking as number one, because anytime you go on the road, you take a team to triple overtime, you're equals. And you play them at home, you play them at a neutral site, and probably East Carolina wins that game 8 times out of 10.
Yeah, most likely. I completely agree. And they racked up over 500 yards against them. I think what hurt ECU the most was probably the two turnovers and the 98-yard interception return for a touchdown.
That'll do it every time. Those are killers.
But Shane Carden is very, very good. 480 passing yards.
When you look at our power rankings this week on BleedTechBlue.com, Marshall takes the top spot. Not enough people kept East Carolina as the number one team, even though I did. Jared did not.
He put
his Greenies in. He was the only one.
But I put Tulane.
But he put them as number one. East Carolina was number two. Tulane number three. Rice number four. North Texas 5. Middle Tennessee 6. Tulsa 7. Louisiana Tech 8. FAU 9. UTSA 10. UAB 11. UTEP 12. FIU 13. And of course Southern Miss 14. You know, the team that whenever I was compiling the power rankings today that had rankings all over the board were FAU. I don't think people can know if they can take them seriously or not.
And it's interesting because I really feel like FAU is a team that is on the rise, and Middle Tennessee is a team that is on the fall. I feel like Middle Tennessee is...
They started hot and they're falling on their sword.
They're declining rapidly. Look, they're second to last in scoring offense, and they're second to last in scoring defense in the conference.
They started out well, like I said, and the last 3 weeks they scored 10 points 3 weeks ago, 17 points 2 weeks ago, and 7 last week. North Texas has got a good defense, but
it's not as good as Middle Tennessee made it look. They only amassed 66 passing yards. This is ridiculous.
And whenever you look at, we'll get into more North Texas talk, of course, later in the show. When you look at pass defense, North Texas ranked first. Well, when you give up 60-something yards last week,
right,
the numbers are a little skewed.
Sure,
you
it'll
know,
skew
the... The part that I have forgotten, in the next segment, Troy Edwards, the great Louisiana Tech wide receiver, will be joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I've been wanting to have him on the show really since the inception of the show, and I'm excited to have him on tonight. Talk about his time at Tech since it is homecoming week. Talk about what he's been doing since his playing days in the NFL. Of course, he was a first-round draft pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will talk more with Troy in the next segment. I felt like we needed to intro that since I'd forgot it in the...
Sure. Anytime you've got a Biletnikoff Award winner coming on the show...
And a first-round draft pick.
First-round 13th pick. He was a little bit before my time, but I do know...
You probably were wearing diapers.
I was 7 years old. I was out of the diapers. Barely. But
you were almost wearing diapers.
Right. Boy, I was, man, these announcers. I was at the Winfield-Leesville game a couple of weeks ago.
I know that we stretch into Winfield. Winfield, your PA announcer, he needs to quit talking so much.
Well, he's a funny guy. He's a funny guy.
He is humorous, but whenever you're doing public address announcing, you're not doing play by play.
Hey,
people have eyes and they can see the football game with their own two eyes. You don't have to describe it to them.
Well, anyway, he described the quarterback who was kind of dancing around in the backfield for his life as a baby dancing around in a dirty diaper.
I've personally never seen a baby dance around in a dirty diaper.
Neither have I.
Maybe he has.
Maybe so. Maybe he's got some grandchildren or something.
When you look at the Conference USA standings, the East is wide open with Marshall at 2-0, East Carolina at 2-1, then UAB at 1-1, FIU at 1-1, Middle Tennessee at 1-2, Florida Atlantic at 1-4. Somehow Florida Atlantic's played 5 games in the conference.
And boy, have they struggled to get in the win column.
Yeah.
They set themselves back really early, and it's too late for them.
And then whenever you look at the Western Division, Tulane and Rice are in the driver's seat, with North Texas, Tulsa, and Louisiana Tech all at 1-1, UTSA at 1-2, and UTEP winless at 0-3. I still think this conference is pretty wide open. I'm not positive what we know thus far about Louisiana Tech.
Well, I wasn't expecting Tulane to move up to 3-0 in conference play this weekend, which I feel like, you know, it does give them a little bit of an advantage in the conference race, although Rice is also 3-0, and I really expect Rice to overtake Tulane at the top spot in the West. But it's, like you said, as far as the East goes, the East is still wide open. Marshall's 2-0, but everyone else is. I mean, East Carolina's 2-1, UAB's 1-1, FIU's 1-1, Middle Tennessee's probably too far back now at 1-2, and then Florida Atlantic has no shot, and Southern Miss won't win a game. So it's still a wide open conference all the way around.
When you look at Florida Atlantic, we were talking about how nobody knows if they need to take them for real or not. The last three games, or actually, we'll take the last four games. They lost to Middle Tennessee by a touchdown. One possession, Rice by 4, UAB, they won 37-23, who's not very good. Marshall, they lost by a point.
Yeah.
And Marshall had to mount a fourth quarter comeback in order to get the victory on the road.
And was it FAU that took Rice? It was FAU that took Rice right down to the wire, and Rice came back right at the end.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, it just hasn't translated to the win column for FAU.
And they beat South Florida earlier in the year.
Yeah.
28-10.
South Florida's not a very good football team.
No. They're struggling. Mightily.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to make of the conference. Maybe I'm silly in that. One thing that's great about the Conference USA website is they keep up with statistics of Conference USA games only. And as Coach Holt said in his press conference yesterday, it's a good thing to do that because when you're a 9AQ, you're playing a lot of these, for lack of a better term, body bag games where you're a rent-a-win.
Right.
So you're getting beat up. So it is good to keep the games in perspective. And that's what you can do by keeping stats in just the conference games. And believe it or not, the number one scoring offense in the conference is only scoring 30.5 points a game.
But you won't believe who it is.
Tulsa.
It is the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. Who would have thought that Tulsa...
And Louisiana Tech, ladies and gentlemen, is right in the middle of the pack.
Literally.
Number 6 with 26.5 points a game. Only a mere 4 points off the lead.
Yeah.
That's why I keep saying that this team isn't done.
Louisiana Tech also number 1 in rushing offense, and well,
scoring defense they're not.
Scoring defense is not very good, and it's inside the conference only, giving up 29.5 a game, good for 11th in the conference, and then rushing defense is 9th, giving up 166 yards a game. Of course, the pass offense is at exactly 14th.
Is last. Six yards a game or 5.5 yards a game away from Rice.
Right.
Who, of course, Rice is running a strange kind of offense. It's a pro-style look, but they run a lot with huge running backs. I don't know where Rice finds running backs that are 6'2", 220 pounds, but you know what? They got several of them, and that's what they do. East Carolina's pass offense is first in the conference at 349 yards a game.
And Shane Carden is good, folks. Shane Carden is a great quarterback.
But then if you look at their rush offense, they're 12th in the conference.
Yeah, but total offense is still good for first because of the passing, because the pass offense has just been so prolific.
Correct. I think that if Louisiana – IK called the UTEP game a must-win. And I really think North Texas is also a must-win for Louisiana Tech.
Well, I think so, too. Skip Holtz said it during the Conference USA Media Day earlier in the year. He had made mention of the fact that generally the team that finishes the conference with the top defense wins the conference. And North Texas in total defense is number one. North Texas in pass defense is number one. And, you know, you have to feel like this weekend – would be a real test of the Louisiana Tech offense.
And the reason that, that Louisiana Tech's defense is getting gashed is still that secondary.
Right.
And, yeah, I know people are tired of hearing about inexperience, but they are. You've got a true sophomore at one corner spot, a junior at the other corner spot, and a junior college transfer in the backfield at safety, and a redshirt freshman and a true sophomore in the at safety. You can't grow up quickly. It's just not possible. These are highly touted athletes, honestly, with Kentrell Bryce out of Ruston High, who Oklahoma was after, Lloyd Grogan, who Nebraska was after. These guys have talent. They're just, it's going to take some time.
And they're improving. That's not to say that the secondary hasn't improved over the season, because the secondary has, especially Adarius Barnes, has improved by leaps and bounds from the NC State game. It's just that he's been playing college football for 6 weeks. That's it.
Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of people have been pretty critical of Louisiana Tech's punting game. They're fourth in the conference in punting.
Is that to say that Tech's punting is okay, or that the conference
it's okay.
is not very good? I do too.
When you look at the leader is UTEP at 41.6 yards a punt.
And Louisiana Tech is 37.1, just 4 yards off. 4.5.
That's not awful, especially considering you've got two freshmen that have been punting for you.
Absolutely. And there's been a couple of punts that were just really bad punts that go into that also. But really, no, I don't think that having a 37-yard punt average is bad at all. Of course, North Texas is second in the conference, with averaging just under 41 at 40.9.
So, and they haven't punted a ton.
No.
They've punted it 10 times in two games. Texas only punted it 11 times in two games. So they've both been pretty successful on offense. Tech just cannot settle for field goals on drives anymore.
You can't settle for a field goal. If you're going down the field, you've got to get six. You have to.
If Saturday Tech starts settling for three, it's cause for concern.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was something that I was looking at in the Middle Tennessee-North Texas game. Middle Tennessee did score in the second quarter to make it 7-7. And then North Texas returned an interception for a touchdown, and they go out and kick a field goal. And then in the third quarter, neither team did anything. And in the fourth quarter, North Texas just blew it open. But without the interception return at halftime, it's a much closer game than it looks.
That was a momentum killer for Middle Tennessee.
Exactly. Middle Tennessee had a drive go for 10 plays and then fumbled it away. Had another drive go for one and interception return for a touchdown. And then later on at the end of the game, they have a 9-play drive, fumble it away. So if Tech can avoid the turnovers that Middle Tennessee had struggled with, they've got a chance to put some yards on the North Texas defense. They can, especially with Kenneth Dixon. Rushing yards, North Texas still gave up 140 to Middle Tennessee, who doesn't have the caliber of back that Kenneth Dixon is.
Correct. Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, of course, we're going to have Troy Edwards, Louisiana Tech great receiver, set a
tree.
At one-time NCAA record for receiving yards in a single game against Nebraska, where he and current Louisiana Tech wide receivers coach Tim Rattay set the world on fire. Got a standing ovation from the Nebraska Cornhuskers. and were submitted in the NCAA record books. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Before we get to the CollegeSteel.com hotline with Troy Edwards, the Louisiana Tech great receiver, Jared's got a couple of sponsors that make this thing happen.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
In 1998, Troy Edwards, 21 catches for 405 yards against the Nebraska Cornhuskers with Tim Rattay slinging that thing around the field. Troy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Just talk about your time at Louisiana Tech and what was it like for you?
It passed by fast. It passed by fast. It was fun to had just some great times at Louisiana Tech. Made me grow up and become a man. I enjoyed my time.
And then, of course, your quarterback is now a coach here at Louisiana Tech. At what point, when it looked like Tim was going to become the receiver coach here, did he call you and say, "Hey, look, Troy, I'm about to become a receiver coach at Tech. Can you believe it?"
I've been talking to Tim ever since we left Louisiana Tech. He's a good friend of mine. I'm actually proud of Tim. He's a real close personal friend. I have a lot of respect for. I think Tech done a great job by bringing him back on staff.
And then what's life after football been like for you? I know you played a little while in the NFL, and now you're a regular guy. Hey, talk about what you've been doing since football.
I'm actually adapting to life after football pretty good. I'm actually fishing. I became a fisherman. I try to fish every day. I love it. I got a good life. I'm happy. I'm pleased with myself.
And then where are you currently living, Troy?
I'm in Dallas, Texas. I've been in Dallas ever since I retired. I've been here since 08.
So you fish every day. I bet there's a lot of guys out there that are envious of your life after football.
Yeah. I think this part of my life actually is probably more fun and relaxing than football. Football is stressful. There's a lot of work and a lot of preparation going into it. I think it's a lot easier at this second half of my life to do.
And then, of course, the game that highlighted your career at Louisiana Tech has to be that Nebraska game when you got the standing ovation walking off the field. What was it about that game? Did y'all see on tape that, hey, we can exploit this defense? Did y'all know before the game that you were going to be able to go for 405 yards on 21 catches?
If anybody knows, I mean, of course, it's been a long time ago. 1998 seemed like it's been just ages ago. But before they interviewed me before that game, and, you know, me and Tim thought pretty high of the work we had put in. And a lot of people think we was being arrogant or cocky. We studied them. We studied them the entire summer. We knew who our opponent was going to be, and we knew the weakness that they presented, and we took advantage of it.
And then, of course, you played your high school football in Shreveport, grew up in Shreveport, and you played at Huntington High School. Have you had the opportunity to get back to Huntington in the recent past?
Yeah, I always keep up with Huntington. As a matter of fact, I'm from a big family, so I didn't have like probably five or six nephews come through Huntington. Plus, I had like five or six nieces go through Huntington. I've been more keeping up with Huntington than I have been with Louisiana Tech. I got to start getting back to more Tech games and supporting them a lot more.
I got you. And then Louisiana Tech actually has a basketball commitment from Huntington this year, and Brandon Shepherd. So the Huntington connection is going to continue.
Yeah. And I hope it continues get people, because there's a lot of great athletes coming out of Shreveport, Louisiana. So I think they need to start recruiting a little bit more harder.
Troy, I have a question for you. It may be a little bit trivial, but in 98, during your senior year, you set the record for most receiving touchdowns in a season with 27. Do you ever pay attention to that record, see if anybody may be getting close or anything like that? Is that something that you pay attention to and might want to hold on to for a while?
I paid attention to it. The last guy that got the closest to it was Crabtree from Texas Tech. And I think he was the last person got it. After that, I probably didn't really been paying attention to it. I would love to keep the record because, you know, my boys, my kids getting older now, and they love trying to talk noise to me. So I want to hold on to the last couple of records that I do own.
You know, Troy, last season, Louisiana Tech had a freshman running back that tied Marshall, or actually broke Marshall Faulk's freshman touchdown record, and he had 27 touchdowns rushing. So it's kind of a funny number that here you have 27 touchdown catches, and he had 27 rushing touchdowns as a freshman to break an NCAA record. So two Louisiana Tech Bulldogs in the record books with 27 touchdowns is pretty special.
He's pretty good. I got a chance to see him in person. He's a pretty good player too. I just hope he Tech throw pretty much a lot. They throw a lot, so I just hope he keeps his mind mentally tough. But he's a good player. I was impressed when I saw him.
Hey, you were able to watch the game. I know against Army wasn't exactly a bright spot on the schedule for Louisiana Tech. But just talk about what you thought of the Bulldogs against Army.
I like the coach. And, of course, I like Tim, and I like some previous people. Ed Jackson is still there. I was impressed with the foundation of the team, though. They still have a nice passing game. I like the kid. I forgot his name, but I think he was number 19.
Andrew Guyot.
He's very impressive. They have a lot of impressive athletes up there, to be honest with you. And the nucleus of the team look pretty solid. I mean, they still got to work. And when you have a new coach, everybody got to learn the system and get used to the system. So I think the future for Tech is bright. And I just love the move they've done by bringing Tim back. Because sometimes, you know, like an old name like that, especially the greatest quarterback, in my opinion, to ever play college football, period, that should help recruiting.
That's some strong words, Troy.
Oh, I live and die by it. I think he's the greatest. Matter of fact, I think he's the greatest quarterback I ever played with, that including the NFL.
Well, with that, Troy, we're gonna. There's not a whole lot I can follow that up with because I agree with you. Tim was an amazing college football quarterback, and he will forever go down as one of the greats. And I know that there's a lot of Louisiana Tech people that are happy to see him back in Ruston. And we look forward to seeing you in Ruston sometime soon, and catching up with you again on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Troy Edwards, Louisiana Tech great wide receiver, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. He's a classic retired guy.
Absolutely. Fishing every day. Man, I would love to go fishing every day.
You've got a few more years before you can retire.
Well, no, but what it means is that he doesn't have anything more important going on. He can just go fish. See, how cool is that? How cool would it be to have such a relaxed life that you could just fish?
When you're going to play fish, go fish every day is the card game. When you have children.
Yeah, either children or nursing home. One or the other.
Or at your other job at the church.
Oh, true. We can play some Go Fish at church.
You can play Go Fish?
I can play some Go Fish at the church.
As long as there's no betting involved.
Correct, right, of course.
Or dancing.
Hey, now, we've evolved, if you can use that word.
Yeah, that's funny. That's pretty good. We won't get into this religious or political discussion here on ESPN Radio 97.7. No one cares about that.
Nope.
They care about Louisiana Tech sports, and that's why we're here for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We will have Troy Edwards' interview archived on BleedTechBlue.com later. I actually plan on talking to Tim Rattay tomorrow at practice, getting his thoughts on Troy. Come up with a little content piece. We'll embed the interview and go from there.
I wonder if Tim Rattay will say that Troy Edwards is the best college wide receiver of all time.
Something tells me that might happen, and he's got plenty of evidence to say that it's true.
Absolutely.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio right here. We'll be back right after this, and you won't want to miss this next segment where I will jump on my soapbox. That's not a new thing on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Great interview with Troy Edwards in the previous segment. In this segment, I'll go on a soapbox again. Jared, but before I get on that soapbox, a couple of sponsors.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to info@bleedtechblue.com. Also,
radio at bleedtechblue.com.
Oh.
Info at bleedtechblue.com works too. It'll go to the same place.
But radio at bleedtechblue.com is actually where the questions
should go.
And then also you can tweet your questions with the hashtag BTBradio. Sorry, I was doing that all by memory. So
you did well.
I forgot the info and the radio and everything else.
Louisiana Tech announced its latest class in the Hall of Fame last week. And believe it or not, that guy that we just talked to on the radio,
Mr. Edwards?
Mr. Edwards is not a member of the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame. How is that possible when someone was a Biletnikoff Award winner?
Warfield Trophy winner.
Was a Warfield Trophy winner, a consensus All-American.
And a first-round pick.
First-round NFL draft pick.
And still holds records.
Still holds NCAA records. And one time held more than one NCAA record. NCAA football records, not Louisiana Tech records.
How long do you have to be?
5 years.
And he's been out 15.
It's absurd. There's several people that need to be in Louisiana Tech's Hall of Fame. Troy Edwards, Mike Green, the all-time leading scorer for Louisiana Tech Bulldog basketball, is also not in the Hall of Fame.
Erroneous!
One of people say that he's probably the best college basketball player to ever play at Louisiana Tech, and that includes Karl Malone.
Mm.
I don't care what the reasoning is. Being in the Hall of Fame is what you did at Louisiana Tech.
Sure. It's what happened on the court or the field. It's not. Well,
you know,
it's nothing else.
There's a couple of other people that deserve to be there. Pat Tilly was a NFL pro. He was a Pro Bowler, NFL Pro Bowler, wide receiver. He's not in it either. How does this happen? Unless these three men, there's probably more. If there's these three, you know there's more. If these three don't get into it next go-around, Louisiana Tech's Hall of Fame's a joke.
Those are strong words.
But it's the truth. How do you have the all-time leading scorer for Louisiana Tech men's basketball not in the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame when he played before Karl Malone?
I'm assuming that Karl Malone is.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
The inaugural class was in 1984 with Joe Ie, Terry Bradshaw, Atlee Donald, Garland Gregory, who was on the inaugural 49er football team, Pam Kelly, Maxie Lambright, and Jackie Moreland. Those are good people. They should be there. And I'm not even saying that the people that were put in this year don't deserve to be there. What I'm saying is there's no reason that the three that I've been talking about tonight should not already be there.
It's news to me. I guess because I'm so much younger. But it's news to me that Troy Edwards was not.
And you
he's
think
the only name that I recognize out of those names, but he's a name that I know because he played in the NFL.
When you think about recent athletes for Louisiana Tech, Chelsea Hayes is at the top of the list for me. An Olympian. How long is it going to take after 5 years of her being out for her to get in the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame?
Not to sound like the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame is full of people who don't deserve to be there, because there are lots of people who do, but, I mean, what exactly is keeping these kind of people from getting in? Are there so many people who deservedly so
because it,
need to be in there each election that these people are being bumped out for other people?
You know, it's very similar from what I understand. It gets to be very political, as you can imagine.
Well, sure.
And I liken it to very much like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, all of them. And you've got people that have these unrealistic views of these people, where Troy Edwards has these, I'm not even going to bring them up because they're not true. From people that I've talked to that know Troy very, very well, nothing that has been brought up from his past to keep him out of the Hall of Fame is even true. One of them today was that he was lazy. How do you become the first round draft pick in the NFL draft if you're lazy?
Yeah.
And I was even told that he never missed a practice, high school, college, or NFL.
Wow. But besides that, laziness isn't a reason to hold someone outside of the Hall of Fame for your athletic institute, whatever it may be, college or professional, because it's what happened on the field.
And then Mike Green, some of the Mary Jane is mentioned in his past, but in the 70s, how many athletes didn't smoke Mary Jane?
In the 70s.
Was he in the 60s? Is that when Mike Green was?
Today.
But, I mean, there's not many.
No.
Even today, that have never in their lifetime smoked marijuana.
Exactly.
Does it make it right? No. Does it keep someone out of the Hall of Fame? If that kept people out of the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame would be empty.
Absolutely. One of my Denver Broncos is coming back from suspension this week from something very similar.
Von Miller.
Yes.
That would be empty. And he comes from A&M where nothing bad happens. Just ask him about Johnny Football, he's an angel.
Right, yeah.
If you're going to hold that kind of thing over a guy's head and keep him out of the Hall of Fame, your Hall of Fame should be empty.
I agree. You've swayed me.
I hope that somebody that actually has some right. bearing on this is actually listening.
Right.
And if it's not, I'm going to cut this segment out and email it to all of them. I don't know when the next class is. They don't do a class every year. They did for a while. They don't anymore. It'll be another few years. The next time it happens, if these three men do not get in, it's a travesty.
Soapbox will be brought out again.
Again. Chelsea Hayes, by that point, will be out for 5 years. She should get in that year. I would want to – I don't know this number off the top of my head. If somebody can figure it out, let me know. How many Olympians Louisiana Tech has produced in its history? Patrick Walsh, if you're listening, I know you probably know that. Send me a text, or he's probably at practice, so he's not listening. But there's not many. And she was probably the best female that she is. She's the best female track athlete to come out of Louisiana Tech. She deserves to be there. You think about Ryan Allen, Clinton Patton. How long is it going to take those guys to get in? Miles White was activated to the
Green Bay Packers
roster today.
With the loss of Randall Cobb and James Jones.
And I'm not saying that Miles White deserves to be in it immediately, but he needs to be in a conversation at some point.
Sure. So does especially Clinton Patton.
And Ryan Allen.
Ryan Allen played.
He was here for 3 years and won two national awards in two of the 3 years.
Yeah, never been done to win consecutive. Gosh,
Ray Guy Award winner.
Ray Guy Awards.
He deserves it.
Absolutely.
So that I can get cooled down. Let's take the early break. On the other side of the break, we will talk North Texas, Louisiana Tech football, so that we don't make this great rant a convoluted mess.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here in studio along with Joe Dirt, producing us on the ones and the twos. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Brett Vito joining us here from the Denton Record Chronicle on the collegesteel.com hotline. How you doing, Brett?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Brett, you know, North Texas is leading the conference in total defense and in conference games. What are the Mean Green doing that is making them so successful on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, think there's a lot of things that North Texas is doing well this year as opposed to previous years. And I think one thing that's really helping North Texas in general is this team has the same defensive coordinator for the second year in a row for the first time in a really, really long time. North Texas had a defensive coordinator that they used in the final year of the Todd Dodge era. Then they had another defensive coordinator they used in the first year of the Dan McCartney era, who was a longtime Kansas guy who went back to Kansas. And then they brought on this John Scavini as the defensive coordinator last year. Well, that was his first year. So these guys had never played under the same defensive coordinator 2 years in a row. Now all of a sudden they've got the same guy back. He has been with Dan McCartney for a really long time. They've worked together for 12 years at Iowa State. So now these guys really know each other's philosophy. And I think that's really helped. And they've also returned a lot of their very key players from last year. That's really helped them out.
And when you look at last week, of course, a dominating game against Middle Tennessee where they really shut down the Blue Raiders. That's a team that North Texas is very familiar with coming out of the Sun Belt Conference. What did they do? Was it a little bit of Middle Tennessee not being able to complete a ball? Was it a lot of what North Texas was doing? But whenever you hold a team to 60-something yards passing, that's pretty gaudy.
You know, it was just a weird game the way it played out in general. Logan Kilgore is a pretty good quarterback for Middle Tennessee, and he played early in the game and, you know, led them down the field. I think he hit, like, his first seven passes, seven or eight. And then, they got down there. They made a couple mistakes. They ended up not getting it going offensively, and they pulled him in favor of a younger quarterback that they had that was more of a dual-threat guy. And he does not – Austin Grammer just doesn't throw the ball as well as Logan Kilgore does. And then when they went to that kind of short-circuited their passing game. It's kind of an odd move. And then after that, North Texas really kind of cranked up the pressure, and they got a lot of really big hits, and everything's kind of started to turn their way.
And when you look at Louisiana Tech, of course, they're led by a sophomore running back, Kenneth Dixon, who went for 300 against UTEP. I mean, a rush defense at UTEP, or not 300, 200. Sorry. if he went for 300, that'd be even more impressive. 200 against UTEP, against a defense that really is, they struggle to stop the run. What do you think North Texas will do to try to keep him at bay?
Well, I mean, I think they'll just try to load up and take away the line of scrimmage, kind of control the line of scrimmage. That was one thing that you kind of thought would be a little bit of a weakness for North Texas, their defensive line up front. But they've kind of gone to this rotation of eight, you know, six, seven, eight guys. And that seems to really help them. They don't wear down as much. And they've got some good linebackers. That's the other thing. And some good run support safeties. Their middle linebacker is one of their best players. His name's Zach Orr. Been a terrific player at North Texas for a long time. He was a two-time second-team All-Sun Belt Conference selection, and him being second-team probably had a lot to do with the fact North Texas wasn't very good the last couple of years. Just a really good player. Will Wright's a good player on the outside. They've got a safety named Marcus Trice. He's a really big hitter. He's a transfer from Oklahoma who really seems to kind of come into his own at North Texas, and they've just got some good players in that front seven that really seem to play well, and I'm sure they'll focus in on trying to stop the running attack.
And when you look at when Louisiana Tech is having success offensively, they want to go up tempo, and that will prevent that eight or nine man rotation from substituting if they can get on some extended drives. Do you think that'll be a key to success for Louisiana Tech, is having some sustained drives and being able to go up tempo?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it's only going to help Louisiana Tech if they can kind of keep grinding away at North Texas and try to continue to pound away at them, because they're not huge up front either. You know, they've got one real big defensive tackle named Richard Abbey, but a lot of their other guys are a little more undersized. That would be the way you would think you'd want to attack North Texas. They have been pounded at a little bit at times over the course of the year, and that seems like the logical way to go for Louisiana Tech.
When you look at a matchup that's going to be in the Mean Green's favor, which one do you that stands out to you the most?
You know, North Texas, it's hard to say because they've been kind of all over the map this year. The big story going into last week's game was that North Texas ran for 41 yards combined in losses to Georgia and to Tulane. And, you know, that was kind of the big story because North Texas has traditionally been a run-the-ball team, and Dan McCartney's a run-the-ball coach. He kind of wondered if there were some issues there. And, you know, then last week they just came out and they just hounded it, Middle Tennessee, for 303 yards. Now, you kind of wonder if a little bit that doesn't have to do with some matchup issues, because North Texas rushed for like 400 yards against Middle Tennessee at the end of the, not last year, but the year before. So you kind of wonder if that's just kind of an aberration or something like that. They've kind of been up and down running the ball. They've kind of been up and down in terms of throwing the ball. They've kind of been up and down defensively a little bit, although they've been more consistent over there. So it's just hard to pick out one area where you really think, wow, this is exactly what North Texas is and exactly how they stack up.
So they've kind of been an inconsistent team, and that's what Louisiana Tech's kind of been. So Vegas says it's a 6.5-point line right now. Do you tend to a six and a half point favorite for North Texas, I should say? Do you tend to agree with that, or how do you see this game playing out?
I think it'll be a close game. Of course, I said that with the Middle Tennessee game, too, and then, you know, it turned out to not be a close game. But North Texas has not played well on the road either. That's the other thing to remember. North Texas is really hard to beat at home. They're, I think it's 14-2 under Dan McCartney at Apogee Stadium, something like that. It's pretty ridiculous what they are overall. They're just really hard to beat at home. But on the road, they've been pretty inconsistent. They played Ohio tough, and Ohio's a pretty good team, but they lost that game. You know, of course, they lost at Georgia, then they lost at Tulane. So they haven't won on the road this year. So you wonder a little bit about them when they get away from home. And they've talked a little bit about changing some things up, doing some things differently, and we'll see if that really has anything to do with it. But, you know, I mean, just looking at it on paper, I think that's a pretty fair assessment, I would guess, 6-point line. And I can't do anything to argue with it.
When you look at the North Texas offensive line, they've got good size and some guys that have some experience. Louisiana Tech's strength of its defense is its senior-laden defensive line. Has the offensive line done a pretty good job of protecting a quarterback? What have they struggled with thus far?
I mean, like I said, you know, they did struggle to run the ball a little bit, and the thing that they really struggled against Tulane with is Tulane has that big monster defensive tackle in the middle, and he gave North Texas fits all night. Traditionally, they have been really good at protecting the quarterback. People forget this, but they led the nation in least amount of sacks allowed last year. They only gave up six the whole year, six sacks allowed, which nobody allowed less than that. Now, they've given up seven this year, and that might have a little bit more to do with who they've played and the fact that people have come after them a little bit. But they expect Louisiana Tech to come after them because Louisiana Tech's got some good pass rushers, and it'll be interesting to see how North Texas can handle that.
Have people been blitzing North Texas or just rushing them with four down or three down and having success?
Oh, people have come after him. I mean, that's the thing a lot of people have tried to do is to, you know, blitz at him, come after him. You know, North Texas has had a couple of interceptions for touchdowns this year, turned the ball over a little bit. You know, I think a lot of people want to try to put the heat on North Texas and see if they can handle it. And I would expect Louisiana Tech to do the same thing.
And when you look at the secondary for North Texas, it's kind of a classic non-AQ secondary. Some not a ton of length at 5'10", 5'8", and then a couple of corners who are 5'11", and one backup that's 6'1", and then a backup that's 5'9". Has their stature been an issue this year?
North Texas?
Yes.
I don't think so particularly. You know, they've been fairly decent against the pass. What they have done is they've changed their corners around quite a bit. They've switched guys in and out. They started out with Zach Whitfield out there and Hilbert Jackson out there. Those were guys that started last year, and they had some trouble. They gave up some deep balls, some really long passes. They got hit hard a couple of times, and they eventually have kind of gone away from the two guys they started out with, and they've gone to a JUCO transfer by the name of James Jones and Kenny Byers, he's just an interesting guy because, you know, how many white cornerbacks do you see in Division I football? Not many. Well, Kenny's a pretty good one, and he was a guy that originally committed to Air Force, decided maybe the military thing wasn't for him, and ended up walking on at North Texas after backing the whole military thing. And they've played pretty well the last couple of weeks. They haven't been giving up the big shots down the field, but they are a little bit undersized, and you would think that Louisiana Tech, especially, you know, getting some bigger targets out there, might take some deep shots. We really thought that that Middle Tennessee would take some shots at North Texas down the field, and they never really did.
Well, the anomaly of that Middle Tennessee game with Stockstill pulling Logan Kilgore is still a head scratcher for me, and honestly, that puts a real question mark over that entire game to me. What in the world was that game? Was it an anomaly? And I'm sure you have those similar thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it was a weird deal because, you know, Kilgore had some success against him last year. A friend of mine that covers middle for the Daily News Journal, Adam Sparks, he knows more about middle than anybody. I think he asked about it. Well, at least told me he asked about it after the game. And they said that, you know, North Texas was kind of controlling the line of scrimmage, you know, and they felt like they needed a guy that could run the ball a little bit more of a dual threat type situation. I don't know. And they switched it up, and they just never went back to Logan the rest of the game, which makes you kind of wonder about what the decision was there, but that's what was said.
And it's hard to question that their best offensive player for North Texas is Breland Chancellor. They kind of use him in lots of different ways. What is he best at? Catching the ball, running the ball? What's his best asset?
Him in open space. It's like a lot of smaller, quicker guys like that. You know, when you get them the ball and they've got some room to maneuver and use their speed and quickness, I mean, that's really what they do the best. And that's pretty true of Breland. That's why he's such a great kickoff and punt guy. He's returned a lot of punts and kicks over the years. I think he's one of the nation's active leading guy in kickoff return yardage and kickoff return yards and that kind of thing. What is it? Yeah, it's 2,747 kickoff return yards he's had in his career, and he's got 4,569 all-purpose yards. They'll use him any way they can. And, you know, over the years, he's done some impressive things. He beat LSU deep for a couple of touchdowns when they played early in the season a couple of years ago. He had a 99-yard kickoff return against Georgia, and they've got a new special teams coordinator that's really kind of helped them take advantage of Breland in that situation, and I think that's where he really excels. But they'll get him the ball, you know, on the offensive end as a wide receiver. They'll, you know, try to get it to him in the running game a little bit. They just want to get it to him any way they can.
And then you look at the running backs. There's three guys listed as oars on the depth chart that are all really exactly the same size: 5'9", 5'10", 223, 221 pounds. Where have they found all these guys the same size, and how? Where have they come from? It looks like they're all from Dallas. And how much success have they had this year?
Well, you know, the thing is that North Texas has been a terrific team running the ball ever since Darrell Vickie came there in 2001. He was a big run-the-ball guy, and they had two national rushing champions and Patrick Cobbs and Jamario Thomas. And they kind of went away from it when they hired the high school coach. They ended up being such a disaster, Todd Dodge. You know, he brought in a spread system, and that didn't go anywhere, at least not in terms of wins and losses. And when they brought in McCarney, he kind of went back to what he's always done and what North Texas has always done, and that's, you know, run the football. And these guys have gotten from a lot of different places. Brandon Bird was actually a teammate of Breland Chancellor. So the starting running back and Breland were on the same high school team down at Copper's Cove. And, you know, he's been a good player for North Texas for a long time. Jimerson was a Dallas guy that, you know, I think it was attractive that North Texas was a run-the-ball team. And Reggie Pegram, the other guy that they use a lot, is related to Brandon Kennedy, a great defensive tackle for North Texas. And he's also related to a Hall of Fame running back at North Texas that played back in the, I think it was in the 90s. So some of these guys are, you know, have some connections to North Texas, and, you know, they roll those guys in and out and use them all quite a bit to just kind of hammer away at people.
Well, Brett, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, talking a little North Texas Louisiana Tech football, and look forward to the game Saturday. And before I let you go, give me a prediction, a score prediction. I'm really bad at it, but I'll make everybody do it.
I don't know. I mean, 27-24 North Texas. North Texas isn't good on the road, but you would think eventually they're going to win one of these. And the other fun thing about this game is North Texas never wins back-to-back games. They're 0-26 following a win since 2004. So sometime this has got to end. Maybe this will be the week.
Wow, what a stat. Appreciate it, Brett.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Brett Vito, Denton Record Chronicle, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, talking a little North Texas Louisiana Tech football. That's a heck of a stat. 0-26 following a W since 2000. Did he say 2004?
2004. They haven't won a game on the road.
Given that record, think about the record that Louisiana Tech broke for Kansas earlier this year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. North Texas actually,
need I say more?
North Texas actually has a chance to break two dubious records. The second is that they haven't won a road game since
the youth
September,
just broke out dubious on
September
the radio.
September of 2012. They've lost 8 consecutive road games, including all 3 that they played this year.
Tell you what, it's a tough one to pick. I'm really kind of surprised that Vegas has it at a 6.5-point line.
Given is it still at 6.5?
Yes. It started at 7, went to 6, went back to the 6.5. I don't get it. I really, really don't. Wouldn't surprise me if North Texas wins, but I don't see 6.5 points. I just don't. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Right after the break, we'll talk more North Texas Louisiana Tech homecoming football. We'll be back right after this.
Find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Extended segment with Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle. Just before this one, make it up for some time after my 6:30
your soapbox
Tech
your
Hall soapbox of Fame rant. You knew it was coming. I put it on the outline.
Yeah, actually, it really does say on the outline.
Tech
it says,
Hall of Fame
6:30 rant. Tech Hall of Fame rant, North Texas talk.
However,
it was coming.
I was sweating too much after being so fired up that we didn't need to talk about anything
We took an early break.
And then we talked about North Texas.
Correct.
Let's get to those sponsors, then more North Texas.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. You can give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can tweet us with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Jared, during the break, what did you say?
During the break, I said I really don't think North Texas is as good as we have them in our Bleed Tech Blue Conference USA Power Rankings, which is not just comprised of our own opinions, but also of those
Conference USA publishers.
Conference USA rivals publishers. Here's the deal. North Texas has some pretty good statistics against conference opponents. When you extrapolate that over the rest,
man, these big words that the youth pastors well,
no,
out
here's
tonight.
The no. I'm a baseball fan. We use words like extrapolate and sabermetrics, stuff that you football fans wouldn't know anything about. anyway, here's the deal. When you extrapolate that over the course of the season, what you get is a right around middle of the pack. It's right around middle of the pack. They're not the number one team in defense anymore. They're not the one, total defense or pass defense anymore. And then also, sure, they've looked good against the conference, but the conference, they're still 1-1 because they lost the Tulane game. They lost 24-21 to Tulane in a good game, in a close game. And then Middle Tennessee, Logan Kilgore goes 8 of 8. And they fumble.
And they bench him.
They fumble on the drive, and then they put him on the bench, and they don't bring him back out.
How often do you see a quarterback go 8 for 8?
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Get benched.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And his backup quarterback, Grammer, comes in, and he's 6 of 22. He's an option quarterback, and he did end up rushing for 139, well, almost 139
yards,
but he couldn't lead them to a score. And there's the difference. I don't feel like Kilgore deserved to be benched. I don't know what else went on with that, so I guess I really don't have the right to say. But when you got a quarterback who starts out 8-8,
say whatever you want.
That's because I'm on the radio. that's the power of the microphone. No, when your quarterback starts out 8-8, 8-4-8, and you've up to that point. You'd had a pretty good season. He had had a pretty good season, and then you bench him. I don't understand. I don't understand the decision-making process there by Stockstill. I would like to point out, though, that Phil Steele's midseason All-Conference USA team came out this week, and 7 North Texas players were named to the team, including middle linebacker Zach Orr.
To switch a little gears, and you have to. I like to look at common opponents when you're talking about a matchup.
So Tulane.
North Texas 24-21. North Texas scored 14 points in the fourth quarter against Tulane. 7 points in the third quarter. So 21. They're all 21 points came in the second half. They clearly figured something out in the second half.
Right. Yeah. They had to have made an adjustment. Thompson did throw for 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, also threw for 2 picks in that game. But North Texas only amassed 360 total yards, including 34 rushing. And that's not because they got away from the rush.
They didn't run it much. They ran it 20 total times.
They ran it 20 total times.
5 different running backs.
Tulane's nose tackle, Asumu, or A-S-U-M-N-U, however you say that. Just like Brett Vito just said, he caused a lot of trouble in the middle.
I think he was talking about that old boy from Mansfield.
He said the big one. He's 320. The other one's 290.
LSU transfer, 5-star Davenport. Chris Davenport's over three bills. I guarantee that's who he's talking about. That he's legit. You have to wonder how in the world does a guy like that transfer from somewhere. That tells you the depth at the other team.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was never going to see the field, and that's saying a lot. Then you look at Louisiana Tech without Kenneth Dixon.
Correct.
Tevin King was able to go 14 carries, 88 yards against Tulane.
Which is almost twice as many.
And Blake Martin, 3 carries for 19 yards.
Right.
Both of them averaged 6.3 yards a carry. Scotty Young had a run for 9 yards. I think Kenneth's going to be able to run today, Saturday, and Blake Martin's going to be able to run. And for that matter, Ryan Higgins will be back. He'll be able to run.
Ryan will be able to run. I think Ryan will be able to run against this North Texas defense.
So, but when you look at what Orleans Darkwa wasn't able to do a whole lot against Tech or North Texas.
Right.
But in recent weeks, last week he was able to do some things. It's an interesting game. That's why I say from when I look from Vegas, how in the world do they see 6.5? And even the Sagarin rating system, they have Tech as I think over an 11-point underdog at home.
Yeah.
I don't see that either.
11.22.
But Tech's been a little Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde this season.
Sure.
So they're hard to pick as well. I don't know where to go with this. At 7:15, we're going to have Josh McDaniel from Louisiana Tech Sports Marketing joining us, talking about all the things on hand for homecoming week. Pep rally, of course, Friday. Tomorrow is a talent show presented by Union Board, and then Saturday just chocked full of stuff, including a parade. So he'll be joining us at 7:15 to talk about that. Because of that, we will give our predictions, to put it in a New Orleans term. So I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to do it at the end of the show like we usually do.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Well,
the over-under is 55. I like that number.
I do too. I liked the under for 60 against UTEP, and I was wrong. But I do like the over-under at 55 for this game.
It's a good number if you're a better.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Week 8 preview came out this week. North Texas at Louisiana Tech. North Texas by 6.5. My pick was North Texas.
You standing by that pick?
I will. I'll stand by the North Texas pick. I'll go first, being as I lost last. Well, actually, I didn't lose last week. The first week this season that I haven't lost.
In other words, you're not very good at this.
No, that's not true. That is not true. If you go to bleedtechblue.com, you go to my preview, you look at it each week.
You're 51-19, okay.
I'm 51-19 on the season, and after Western Kentucky takes care of business tonight against the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, I will never call them the University of Louisiana.
No one will, except for people they brainwash.
Western Kentucky will win this game, and that'll put me at 52-19.
So anyway, make your pick.
Yeah, I still have to do that. I was putting it off.
Do I have a 3-game lead or a 2-game lead now?
What difference?
Two?
At this point,
2-game lead.
What? 3. It's 3.
It's 3-game lead.
It's 3.
Well, I've got an opportunity to make some games up.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Oh, you got some.
Western Kentucky just put a touchdown on the board.
They did. I'm going to go ahead and make my pick since you're dragging your feet.
No, I know it. I know my pick. I know
Let's
my pick. I'm going to do it. 24-17, North Texas.
Oh, see, you're going under on that one.
Yes, I am.
I'm going 32-27.
And it will be
Louisiana Tech.
So I have a chance to make up a game this week.
Since you're down 3, you got.
I don't have. The chances are running out.
They are.
Only 6 left.
Joe Dirt, it's your go.
Tech 24-23.
So you're with me.
Close.
I'll take the under and Tech to win. It's homecoming. Gonna pull it out.
And North Texas
hasn't won a game
on the road. You're saying that they're going to break another one of those records like the Kansas one.
I mean, you know, why not?
Because why not go ahead and make it 4 games back? This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. On the other side of the break, we'll have Josh McDaniel, Josh Mack, J-Mack. He goes by many names. Joining us from Louisiana Tech Athletic Marketing Department, talking homecoming festivities at Louisiana Tech. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here in studio. Josh McDaniel here for this segment and Joe Dirt on the ones and the twos. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Josh.
Bleed Tech Blue. Speechless? Not speechless. Chuckling. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Josh, thanks for joining us here. Talk a little homecoming football.
Well, thank you for having me. Big week for Louisiana Tech. Of course, homecoming in itself is always a really big deal. But also a lot of events going on put on by SGA. As you mentioned earlier, a little erroneously, the talent show is tonight, actually. It's going on right now. Tomorrow.
That's why they don't depend on me for that information. They depend on you.
Tomorrow is the step show.
Ooh,
which is always
always entertaining.
It's in Howard Auditorium tomorrow night. Thursday, SGA has a volleyball tournament going on at the sand courts. So it might be if you get off work, want to come watch some college kids playing sand volleyball. What's going on? The big thing is the pep rally on Friday, one thing we are trying this year that we've never done before, always in the past, the pep rallies have been in the Thomas Assembly Center. Of course, with the Paul Millsap vision presented by Community Trust, construction going on right now, we are going to have the pep rally in the quad, which I think is a pretty cool deal. I mean, with you got the Lady of the Mist right there. It's going to be on the steps of Howard Auditorium, and that's at 6 p.m. After that, Friday night, come over to Memorial Gym, where Lady Texter Volleyball will be hosting the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State. Brigham Blues cheerleaders all going to be there at the volleyball game. Should be a fun time. Should be a fun atmosphere in Memorial Gym. Fun fact for you, Louisiana Tech Volleyball has never played in Memorial Gym. Thomas Assembly Center was built in 1982. Louisiana Tech Volleyball did not start till 1987. So this will be a first time for the ladies in Memorial Gym.
And while we're on this subject, I believe it should be their full-time home. That building is built for volleyball. It would be perfect. I know you don't have to comment on this, Josh. I'm just going to step on one of my soapboxes like I do on this show so often. But I think it would be perfect. Continue on.
I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I really do. And we'll be back there Sunday to play another volleyball match at 2.
Maybe if they go a 2-0.
In Memorial,
they'll want to continue the tradition.
Yeah, and we'll have at least 3 there, so we'll see how that goes. Also got some soccer going on Friday at 7. They're playing UTEP. And then on Sunday, kind of a unique situation, volleyball and soccer both playing Southern Miss. So a lot going on, non-football related, but as far as football, of course, the game at 2:30. And another thing SGA is trying this year is the parade on Saturday. Parade will be at 10:30 Saturday morning. It'll kind of loop through campus. And
is it starting at – where is it starting?
It's starting at Tech Point, the new business building.
Okay, I'm about to say, because they normally talk those things from Joe I. Stadium. With a tailgating going on, that's not going
to
work.
It would have been a little awkward to – not the start, but the ending.
Yeah.
Because with people coming into tailgating and everything going on. So 10:30, the parade will be coming through campus, and – I hope everyone can get out. If you're an alum of Louisiana Tech, there's really no reason for you to not be here this weekend. They finally got our bricks down. I know as a graduate of 2005, this guy was really excited to...
06, I was excited.
See that brick that somebody called it the most expensive brick in the world. And I think my parents would probably tend to agree on that.
Well, you had an adventure.
I did have an adventure.
You went to 3 different schools in the state.
Just two. Yeah, I was a Tiger in Baton Rouge my freshman year.
And I thought you were McNeese, too.
I didn't ever go to McNeese.
That's kind of surprising.
I saw the light after my freshman year, and God called me to the glory land of Ruston, Louisiana.
And the rest is history.
It is. So a lot of stuff going on. We hope can come out, see some volleyball, maybe see some soccer, definitely see some football, and stick around on Sunday. A lot. Our Olympic sports are doing great things, so we'd really like to have come out after. They don't start till 1. Soccer, volleyball at 2, so you can have lunch, family.
And then Tommy McClellan tweeted a little while ago they got the actual panels of the video board on this afternoon.
They are. I left the Assembly Center about 6:45 to come up here, and the panels are on. The structure is still on the ground as they're still doing some electrical work, I would assume. But the panels are on. A couple of the scoreboards, the bottom panels, will have 2 LEDs and 2 scoreboards have already been installed. So big things going on at Louisiana Tech. It's a great time to be a Tech fan, Tech grad, especially this week with homecoming.
I've been excited about this video board really for 5 months since I – or really 2 months since I knew that it was going
to
happen.
Absolutely. I mean, you just think back to the Joe before the video board came in. We had busted speakers barely playing Dave Matthews Band, and that's a true statement.
You could not hear the PA announcer on the student
right.
side.
So I think the atmosphere is going to be absolutely incredible inside the Tech. Let me step back for just a second. The pep rally, Regal Blue is going to be there, Band of Pride cheer, and a very, very special guest will be making an appearance at the pep rally.
A debut.
So you're not going to want to miss this. It's kind of a...
As the SGA president said on the football show Monday, he's little and he barks. Well, I don't know if she was supposed to do that or not, but she did it. And I just said it again.
So make sure you come out to the pep rally. Once again, that's 6 o'clock in the quad, not in the tech.
Be a great opportunity for Louisiana Tech fans to see this new addition and to get pepped up.
Absolutely. I will be the MC for the pep rally again. SGA is...
Do y'all have a portable PA system out there?
We do have a portable PA system, but if necessary, I can get loud enough to yell and get the crowd going.
Josh Mack, the MC.
I do what I can.
He'll be on the mic. Josh, we really appreciate you coming in, telling the folks about the activities going on at Louisiana Tech this week.
Well, thank you for having me. You guys do great things, and I was kind of nervous now that I followed a Biletnikoff Award winner.
Yeah, it was
on
good
the
stuff.
Show of Troy Edwards, so that's a pretty big deal.
He did a really good job with that interview. Glad we had it. Again, that interview, if you missed it, will be archived on BleedTechBlue.com. Hoping to have an interview done with Tim Rattay tomorrow, having a story about Troy Edwards from his perspective, and then, of course, the interview embedded in the story. So stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com for that. For Jared King, Joe Dirt, were you not done, Jared?
No, I have one thing.
Say that.
I have one thing before we leave. Louisiana Tech has produced 9 known Olympians, which have combined for a total of 6 gold medals and 1 bronze.
Teaspoon with the bronze.
Teaspoon with the bronze. Kim Mulkey, Jason Morgan, Carl Malone, Janice Lawrence, Venus Lacey, all with the golds.
Okay, so we're talking basketball too.
Correct. Yes.
I wasn't thinking basketball.
It's women's basketball, men's basketball, and of course track and field.
Well, most of those are in the Hall of Fame, but there's going to be some that are missing. They all need to be there. If you're an Olympian, you have every right of being in the Tech Hall of Fame. For Jared King, Joe Dirt, I'm Jay Ford, and we appreciate Josh McDaniel joining us here for the final segment.
Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back same time next week. See you then.
Been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.7.